Haines government officials write a letter to the public about the yet-to-be-released police department review, and the Hainesboro Assembly approves revised qualifications for the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Hainesboro manager, mayor, and interim police chief issued a letter today about the soon-to-be-released study of the Haines Police Department. The study cost the borough $22,000. It was requested by borough manager Dave Sosa and conducted by Greg Russell of Soldotna-based Russell Consulting. In March, he interviewed residents in Haines, observed the police department, and reviewed their policies. The letter says the mayor, manager, and chief want to provide the community with some summary information before the full police study is released on or about this Friday, August 14th. It goes on to say that the audit identifies long-standing shortcomings in areas including management, adherence to policy and procedure, training, evaluation, and accountability within the department. The letter says the problems in the police department fall on the shoulders of a succession of police chiefs, borough managers, public safety commissions, and borough assemblies. It says those bodies failed to administer effective management and oversight of the department for more than a decade. In all capital letters, the signatories of the letter say, "We will correct the situation and deliver positive changes." They also say that corrective actions are already happening with interim police chief Robert Griffiths. The letter points out the department has seen a complete turnover in officers. Former police chief Bill Musser was on the job while the audit was being conducted. He announced his resignation in March, and his last day with the department was in May. Griffiths took over after Musser's departure. The signatories of the letter say the shortfalls of the department were years in the making and will take time to correct. A draft plan of corrective action will be drawn up with public input following the release of the audit. The Hainesboro Assembly Tuesday night approved revised qualifications for people sitting on the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee. In future appointments to the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee, representatives will not need to own a vessel or a business to get a seat. Before the Assembly's Tuesday vote, these were the regulations on who is to make up the seven-member committee. 3 commercial vessel owners, 2 non-commercial vessel owners, 1 tariff-regulated company owner or representative, and 1 community member at large who has a business related to harbor activities. A request from resident Mike Danker spurred the changes to committee qualifications. Danker argued that it is a violation of the 14th Amendment to require a resident own a specific type of property to qualify for a seat on the Port and Harbor Committee. He said it takes away residents' constitutional right to be considered for public service without discriminatory qualifications. Most of the Haines Assembly members at Tuesday's meeting agreed. Here's Ron Jackson.
The harbor is not just the multiple user groups that are primary users down there. It's a resource of the entire community, and to balance that membership out a little more equally is the right thing to do myself. So,
the new composition takes out the ownership requirement and replaces it with experience. It also takes 1 seat from the commercial vessel experienced contingent and adds an additional seat for a member of the public at large. The current Port and Harbor Committee and Harbor Master Sean Bell do not agree with all those changes. They protested reducing the number of seats for commercial vessel representatives. They also asked for 3 years minimum experience to be the requirement. Here's Assemblyman Dave Berry's response.
It's only fair the entire population to get it as evenly as numbered as we could, and that's why I appreciate what they do for us. But we have a wider crowd to answer to as an assembly member than just people that use the ports and harbor.
The assembly approved the requirement changes in a 4-1 vote, with Diana Lapham opposed. Assembly member George Campbell was not present at the meeting. The changes will not affect the current Port and Harbor Committee, but they will apply to future appointments. The Assembly also approved a revised harbor fee schedule that increases annual and transient moorage fees. Borough Manager Dave Sosa says the revisions will generate more revenue to help close slightly but not completely the gap between harbor revenue and costs. Harbor Master Bell says the revenue expected from the increases will total about $10,500 for the 2015-16 moorage year. The Assembly unanimously approved the revised fee schedule. They also unanimously approved a request from Chilkat River Adventures to add a town tour to the company's list of permitted commercial tour activities. Here's Mayor Jan Hill.
As you all know, I spend my Wednesdays at the cruise ship dock, and this will be invaluable to the community, getting people uptown. They tend to want to use the shuttle, which brings people to town and drops them off as a tour, and it just doesn't work. There's not enough time to get everybody uptown and provide a tour on the same bus. So I think that this is a good idea, and I think it might help us when we have that long line over there.
The tour would pick up visitors from the cruise ship dock and take them on a one-hour expedition, which could include Main Street, Front Street, Picture Point, Fort Seward, Dalton City, and the Cannery. The next Borough Assembly meeting is scheduled for August 25th. A group of educators and parents in Juneau are advocating for a new charter school focusing on science, technology, engineering, and math. They think it would be the first elementary STEM school in the state. Lisa Fu has more.
More than two dozen people at Tuesday night's school board meeting were wearing paper badges pinned to their shirts that said Summit STEM School Supporter. The blue and green logo on it shows an abstract design of a mountain.
We don't have a local indigenous or a local native design there.
That's Alberta Jones, a member of the formation committee for the Summit STEM School.
That needs to be brought from our school members, from our people involved in the community to give us a local indigenous name. We are spent a lot of time with this trying to think, okay, Summit, what's the Tlingit name for Summit? But it's really important that it's a community buy-in of students and people in our community so that we're following proper protocols.
Jones is Simpsian and Alutiiq. She's a retired teacher from the Juneau School District and has coordinated Native education grants. She says a key component to the charter school is integrating local Indigenous knowledge. The committee proposes putting Summit STEM School within an existing Mendenhall Valley Elementary School. Up to 80 students would be in multi-age classrooms, two classes of kindergarten through second graders, and two classes of third through fifth graders. The hope is to later add a preschool level. Juneau mom Stephanie Buss spoke in support of the STEM school. She says it would give parents more choice. Buss has been homeschooling her two kids since last year and says the charter school could bring her family back to the district.
As a scientist and a business owner, I feel there's a real need for more targeted education in math and science. Each and every child in the district should be given a strong opportunity to be proficient in science and math. I love science and math and would love to see more kids excited about these fields.
Lexi Razor is a math teacher at Juneau Douglas High School. The Charters Formation Committee has been working on the proposal for 2 years, but Razor just heard about it a couple weeks ago.
Right away, it was something that kind of struck me as something that Juneau needs. I've been teaching math for 15 plus years. All my years have been with minorities and low socioeconomic students. I noticed the main thing is just their confidence, and the more opportunities they have with the math, with the engineering, science, all of that, they'd be more comfortable with it.
Summit STEM School hopes to serve students who are economically disadvantaged. They'd make up 50 to 75% of the student population. School board member Barbara Thurston says the district's existing placement process makes that goal highly unlikely.
We've had issues with our placement process over the years with our other alternative programs, probably none of which have what we would consider the ideal ratios, distributions of demographics in them.
Thurston says the applicant pool for alternative programs tends to be made up of non-targeted students. She wants the board to set up a subcommittee to review the placement process. The school board will have a work session on the Summit STEM School on August 31st. If the board accepts the charter application on September 15th, it would go on to the State Board of Education for final approval. The new charter school would receive an allocation of $1.1 million if it has 80 students, according to the district. The Summit STEM School hopes to open fall of 2016. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.